contrary really illustrates what you're going to
do. The House Committee on Education will come to order. Welcome. We are going to skip Senate Bill 46A for the moment. We will come back to that in a few moments. So I will open a work session on Senate Bill 47A. Kevin.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 47A is back before the committee. Again, this authorizes TSPC to issue public reprimands, suspend or revoke the right of an individual enrolled in an approved teacher education institution or program to apply for a license or registration under certain circumstances. I do not believe there was an amendment with respect to this on this side. We do have the fiscal and the revenue with respect to this bill.
Colleagues, are we ready to move this one? You heard this a couple of weeks ago on the day that Kevin and I were not here with you.
It was exceptionally well handled by Vice Chair.
Sure it was. If we're ready to move it, I would accept the vote.
Sure. Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 47A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbrough moves Senate Bill 47A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Huffman? Aye. Representative Cong? Aye. Representative Bauer? Aye. Representative Robin? Aye. Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Van Wormen? Aye. Vice Chair Springer? Aye. Vice Chair Gilbert? Aye. Chair Gilzer? Aye.
Having received the required votes, the bill passes. And who would like to carry this one on the floor? Representative Van Wormen.
Thank you. I'll always take the easy one.
So I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 47A. Be sure to ask Representative Van Wormen hard questions on the floor.
Yeah, I'm ready now.
Okay.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 66A. Kevin.
Chair Gelson, members of the committee, this is also a bill that we heard a couple of weeks ago. Allows the Department of Education to require fingerprints in order to conduct criminal records check for potential employees or those contractors or volunteers who will have unsupervised access to children. Again, this does not have an amendment to it, and we do have the revenue and fiscal impacts.
Are we ready to move this bill? If so, I would accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 66A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbrough moves Senate Bill 66A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Excused.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Cong?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Wilburn?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Wormen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilbert?
Aye. Receiving the required votes, the motion passes and heads to the floor. I'll carry this one on the floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 66A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 121. Kevin.
Chair Gelser, members of the committee, Senate Bill 121, excuse me, requires first-time license or registration applicants to the TSPC to demonstrate knowledge of ethical standards of professional conduct as determined by the commission. Again, this was heard a couple of weeks ago. There are no amendments. We do have the fiscal and revenue statement and can move the bill if the committee so desires.
Thank you. Does the committee so desire? I take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 121 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbrough moves Senate Bill 121 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Excuse.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Cong?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Wilburn?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Wormen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilbert?
Aye. And could we give Representative Parker the chance to vote on this one?
Aye.
This is the...
You haven't got one.
I know.
The 121.
The teachers ethical teachers.
And the question was, can you give me a chance to vote? And I'm waiting to hear the answer.
Well, we haven't gaveled, so...
We haven't gaveled, so
you can go ahead and
yes.
Vote.
Hi. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Only once. You can't keep doing it.
Yes, having received the required votes, the motion passes. And Representative Springer, would you carry the bill? And then we'll take another motion after I close this work session.
Okay.
Sure. All right. So Representative Springer will carry it. Close the work session. Any motions that anybody wants to make?
Yeah.
Representative Springer?
I'd like to make a motion to, or I'd like to ask for rules to be suspended so Representative Parker could vote on the other, on Senate Bill 47 and Senate Bill 66.
Representative Springer moves that the rules be suspended to allow Representative Parker to vote on Senate Bill 66A and Senate Bill 47A. Is there any objection? Seeing none. Representative Parker, how would you like to vote?
Yes and yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Debbie, can the record reflect that? Thank you. We are going to carry Senate Bill 428 over until Friday. We're not in anything right now.
We did close the
work session. Everything is closed. And I'm making an announcement. Well, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 428. I'll carry Senate Bill 428 over until Friday. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 428. Do we know, Kevin, is anybody coming on this? Like, Senator, why would you?
That's the hearing and the possible work session.
Oh. Yes, yes, both the hearing and the possible work session are carried over.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
Some people must have changed their mind.
Why don't we go ahead and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 374. Kevin.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 374 declares the first Friday in December as Oregon Civics Day for teachers, and it also urges school districts to encourage teachers to participate in professional development opportunities focused on civics for that particular day. This does have an emergency clause and is effective July 1st, 2009. No amendments.
Thank you. Barbara Rustin, Robert Wilner, please. Great. Thank you. Somebody making sound effects?
Yes.
Representative Parker.
Could you please turn off your sound effect machine?
You brought a fogger, a sound effect machine.
We're having a side
strobe light. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you.
Please.
Madam Chair, my name is Barbara Rost, and I'm the Program Director at Classroom Law Project, and I'm also a member of the Legislative Committee on our Task Force on Civics and Financial Education. However, I'm not here representing them. I just thought I'd throw that in. Thank you for seeing me today. I want to start out with a little excerpt that we found on a teacher evaluation at a resulting from a workshop that we did on civics in March. And as a result of that workshop, this particular teacher put on her evaluation, quote, "Now I'll teach civics instead of avoiding it like the plague," end quote. With that in mind, I would urge a yes vote on Senate Bill 374. This bill is blessedly short, it's simple, and probably best of all in this environment, it requests no money. I probably should just stop there and excuse myself, but I won't. You are getting a handout, and my comments are included in there for you, but I'll capsulize them here. Senate Bill 374 recognizes the value of professional development for teachers. It asks school districts to urge teachers to participate in civics-related professional development, and it names the first Friday in December as a good day for doing just that. That's all the bill does. But the bill does have a couple of whereases. I don't know about you, but I generally find whereases to be a rather annoying feature in a bill. But in this case, I do think that they are somewhat instructive. What they tell us is that Oregon students need to know more about Oregon government, and they tell us that when teachers know more, so do their students. The first whereas in the bill draws attention to the need for more or better civics education. There's a lot of information on that. I've included the Oregon 2006 Civics Survey in your material should you wish to see more. Our survey here in Oregon aligns very closely with the National NAEP survey, which basically says that Students average a D grade in civics. The bottom line is that the majority of students graduating from Oregon schools do so without being proficient in civics. The second whereas connects teacher content knowledge with high-quality instruction. A lot has been written on this. Chalkboard has talked a great deal about this. And simply put, when teachers know more, so do their students. As a provider of professional education development for teachers, Classroom Law Project has learned that the weak point in many teachers' vast body of knowledge is their understanding of Oregon government. I mean, when we think about it, there's no text for Oregon government. We can look at the blue book, and it's really helpful, but it's not exactly a textbook. In our workshops, we hear a lot of comments like, "Ooh, I didn't know that," from teachers when we provide information to them about civics. At our December conference, just last December, right here, it was held here in the state capitol, the majority of teachers attending, and these are teachers of social studies, the majority of teachers attending that had never been to the state capitol before. Many had never spoken with a public official before. And so they eagerly absorbed the information that we provided to them in workshops ranging from education legislation to landmark Oregon cases. And there's an agenda in your materials on that as well, should you wish to see more of the kind of things that we provided on that conference day. So when teachers have the opportunity for professional development, they take it. They appreciate it. They find it of value. And they pass that information on to their students. Last December 5th, Governor Kulongoski proclaimed Civics Education Day on that first Friday in December. We're hoping to institutionalize it with this bill. We urge that you pass this bill, send it on to the full House so that we can get it passed. This December conference is just one example of the kind of thing that could emerge from the passage of that bill. It could be a small in-house conference in a school facility building, or it could be the big conference that we would love to continue providing here. The bill says nothing about what that should look like, but just that it's a day that school districts are urged to encourage their teachers to attend and participate. And just to make note of that, to dot the I and cross the T on that, this bill really only asks school districts to encourage teachers to participate. It does not require anything. It does not force anything. It does not mandate anything. It just, with the gentle urging asked in this bill, we hope that instead of avoiding it like the plague, that teachers will embrace civics as something that is fun and academically rich endeavor. So I'm reminded of two quotes when I sit here today, both from esteemed justices. One says, this is from Justice Brandeis, he says, "The most important political office is that of private citizen." And Justice Learned Hand said, "Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women." Taken together, these tell us that citizens must own it. They must own an understanding of how important a thriving democracy is. So this bill, Senate Bill 374, is just a small step in moving that forward. So with that, I would urge a yes on this, and I'll leave that to your questions and to the other side.
Thank you very much. Please.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Bob Wilner, Executive Director of the Oregon International Council. And you've heard my screed before.
It's always good to have you back.
Thank you. I agree with everything that my friend Ms. Russ has said, but I continue to be concerned that the dangerous ignorance of our people, and I hate to say it, of our teachers, is not only in civics, but in the social studies as a whole. And I do not think civics can be effectively carried out in a vacuum. I think it's part of, it goes with history, geography, and economics. and that the level of ignorance in those fields nationally is very frightening. I don't know. I wouldn't want to oppose this bill, but I would like to encourage this committee to do what it can to broaden the scope of this concern, so that we have children coming, growing up, understanding not only how our formal political structure operates, but the context in which it operates of history, geography, and economics, and how those all operate. I'm a bit at a loss to offer specific recommendations, but at this point, I would like to interest the committee in pursuing this broader set of goals and objectives. And I think that's all I can really add.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for this panel?
I have one.
Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Hill, sir, for Mr. Wilner. In terms of what I've been listening to, I've been thinking in the way you're thinking is that we do seem to have a shortage of this broad view of the world. And so what I was thinking is that the discussion that I've been hearing is the loss of liberal arts education. And in terms of what you pose, would a requirement as part of teacher education that it's a liberal arts education, I'm not sure how that would fit in, and Representative Dembrough, because he's in the community college system, might know more than I, but would liberal arts satisfy some of the things you're concerned about?
I would think so.
Okay.
They'd probably need to be defined a little bit.
Okay.
But I would... I am concerned with having a broader context of knowledge.
I share your concern.
Thank you.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question I already know the answer to, but I think it's important to get on the record, and it's for Ms. Rust, is that are there materials that are produced that can go to teachers? Because I agree, part of the problem with both of the people sitting here and both your issues is that when given a textbook, teachers use that textbook, but that doesn't bring to life the issues that are going to come, whether it's our interactions with foreign countries and learning languages and visiting and understanding them, or active engagement in understanding what civics really is about, and it's how participation exists. And are there materials available that teachers can get when they come to your conferences or otherwise that speak to this and give them more open-ended kinds of activities available?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
In response to the question about whether there are texts available, I really would give a yes and a no answer on that, because there are, the typical social studies texts that have a segment on government, and there are government texts that are limited because they're national in scope. They certainly don't apply specifically to Oregon. That said, there's one very innovative curriculum called Project Citizen, and it springs from NCLB. Its funding is through the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and then flow through dollars to the national organization. Classroom Law Project is the state administrator of Project Citizen. It's supported in part, by the way, by the National Conference on State Legislatures. That particular program asks children to examine a local public policy concern, asks them to develop an action plan for dealing with it, and along that way, and getting from thinking up whatever that problem is to whatever the action plan is, they have to do a great deal of research, and in the process discover something about their local government. And so it's a very dynamic, it's a very hands-on, it's a very cooperative work experience kind of thing, but that's one that goes to the heart of the citizen participation piece that you're talking about. Representative Roblin, there are others as well. There are some that talk about foundations of democracy when we talk about privacy, responsibility, justice, and so on. They go to that too, but I think Project Citizen is the one that goes to the heart of the one that you describe.
Thank you very much. Quick follow-up?
Just a comment, actually, because I, my in exposing where far that came from, Representative Buckley and I and Ms. Rest were part of a group that went from this country to Croatia last year to look at the projects that students in Croatia were putting on in their local governments and doing this stuff and to see some of the projects. And it was pretty impressive. And I encourage school districts and school teachers to get involved in this country. Watching the interactions in Croatia was pretty remarkable from all of those kids, learning how their government can work. And they're in an emerging democracy. So the State Department of Education is trying to help help them understand democracy from the bottom up. And watching those young people was pretty impressive. And we could do the same. We need to do the same in our country. And I think all of us know that it's not until you actively do something do you really know what you need to know to learn and why it's important. And I would encourage more of that happening in our schools. And the same is true, those of us who have foreign exchange programs and have a lot of kids coming, our kids have a totally different understanding of the rest of the world. And not doing that deprives our kids of the opportunity, and including sending our kids over there to come back. Is really important. So I appreciate this.
Thank you, Representative Revlin. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at the bill and just want to confirm a question that I asked before. This bill does not shorten class time at all, correct?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Representative Harker, no, it does not. It merely urges districts to consider encouraging teachers to participate. I would personally would strongly urge that they use one of their pre-existing professional development days, in-service days that they have in the calendar for that. It does not ask for more time off for teachers for that purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Thank you both very much for coming. I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 374 and open a work session on Bill 374. Representative Dimbrough.
Madam Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 374 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbrough moves Senate Bill 374 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? No. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Hudson.
Aye.
Representative
Mallard?
Aye.
Representative Rogan?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilson?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the bill passes to the floor. Representative Roblin, would you
carry
it?
I'd be glad to. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Close the work session on Senate Bill 374 and open a work session on Senate Bill 46A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, 46A is before you. Excuse me. This bill was also heard a couple of weeks ago, authorized the Department of Education to require fingerprints of any person hired by a school district or private school, authorized the department to determine whether the applicant knowingly made false statements as to prior convictions. It also discusses limitations on hiring teacher personnel if it is found that there's false statements made with respect to those convictions. It does declare an emergency. There is a -4 amendment, the fiscal to which has just been put in front of you, that adds additional language to Senate Bill 64 and permits school districts to request the Department of State Police to conduct criminal records checks on subject individuals, including fingerprinting, for non-criminal justice purposes. It also provides circumstances in which the Department of Education or State Police may conduct an Oregon criminal records check using a law enforcement data system. I believe we have the fiscals for both the underlying bill as well as the amendments as well as and the revenue statements. And the -4 is in front of you all as well.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Thatcher.
We talked about the -4s when you were gone. I also...
Could you go back through them again when we're
done? Well, I could if you want, but I also have somebody in the audience who could, who's the head of security, security services at Portland Public Schools, and they have a rather extensive... Well, they do a really good job, let's just put it that way, and they are in support of the -4s, and maybe they could speak to them better, but there's just three bullet points.
Yeah, I think I would, just because I know that there's interest out there generally in the bill, and we didn't post it for a public hearing.
Well,
maybe
just
if informational. If there's questions.
Sure. Sure.
Do you want to give the overview of the amendment?
Sure. Just three things. Allows schools to go directly to the Oregon State Police to do background checks.
This would cost less to the districts, and they would get better information. It would require that information be kept confidential. There was some concern from the ACLU that, you know, somebody could come and apply, and that information in a small town would be all abuzz, and just making sure that information is kept confidential. And it would allow schools to go get background checks on their volunteers through ODE or OSP.
And is this roughly similar to the bill that we heard, the House bill that we heard earlier?
But answering some of
the concerns that you heard at that point.
Right. Okay. And it's not a mandate. It's just an allow. Crystal would allow it.
Great. And again, if people do have specific questions for anyone that's in the room, I'm glad to call folks up if there's information specific to questions you all have. But otherwise, since we didn't post it as a public hearing. Representative Roblin.
I think I would like to ask the person from Portland with regard to how they make sure that they keep it secure and all that kind of stuff. I do worry about information getting out. And if they're doing it already, I would love to hear how they're doing that.
Please.
Madam Chair and representatives of the committee, my name is Dennis Toon. I'm Director of Security for Portland Public Schools. We currently process about 1,400 applications for employees alone every year and 6,000 volunteers. As a certified law enforcement agency, which can be designated under statute for any school district, we are bound by the same constraints that concern you as far as keeping confidential records locked, secured, as state police and any other agency. Our custodians can't come in without a criminal background check. In our particular office, we don't even allow them in unless one of our law enforcement representatives is in there. So your question of the confidentiality, we are the same as any other police agency or any other governmental agency that's going to have those confidential records. They are locked under key. The office is locked and secured. File room is locked and secured, and the files are locked and secured. Okay.
Representative follow-up.
Yeah, thanks. So two-part. One, you're saying the statutes allow this already for any school district to form their own agency, and therefore they could go and get these directly without having this bill.
Madam Chair, that not quite. The statute does allow a school board to designate a law enforcement agency, but we currently have to go through ODE, which does create the time delay. Some of the examples I looked at before I came to this meeting today, what we call forever crimes are crimes that prohibit an individual for working for a school district in the state of Oregon. If it's not a local record that I can actually find, and it's outside our 10-year history that I can find outside, the fingerprint process through ODE, going to the state police and FBI, can take 30 to 45 days. And then if the applicant decides to appeal, it can be 4 to 5 months before we get back any designation that they should not have been hired to start with. That's the current process.
Follow it.
And you need to go through the ODE as well as anybody else right now?
Currently, that's correct. Madam Chair, currently that's correct.
Follow up. You have these records, and some people get hired, some don't. What happens to the records of those people who no longer, so they've never really worked for you, you've never had any, other than getting this piece of information, it's the only thing you know about them, and they don't get hired, so they're gone. What do you do with the record?
Madam Chair, there are two sets of records. One would be in the human resources where they actually did apply, and then what is our criminal history record. We keep all those that we process, and those that we denied application for, either the forever crimes or their criminal background history, we keep those in a separate file that's actually called terminations, but it specifically isolates those out from those that actually passed and got hired.
Okay.
Representative Dimbro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're a pretty big operation at Portland Public Schools, do you think that
in Portland,
your ability to maintain a program like this is, you know, in part due to your size? Do you think that any school district could, you know, put together a program that would have, to do this kind of thing on their own and maintain the same sort of security?
Madam Chair, yes, I do. I believe so. Although we are a larger agency and we do have a higher turnover, my office that conducts these backgrounds is an office of four. So that's our staffing for the criminal background checks and for all volunteers and employees.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Questions for Representative Thatcher. Just a further explanation of the amendments. If a school district, the Dalles, a smaller school district than Portland Public Schools, if they wanted to go direct and handle the process themselves, would they have to set up the policing agency first, like Portland Public Schools did?
Yes, they would have to have a police agency. Like, I think you're the only one in the state that has that, or one of the few, I don't know. But, yeah, right now that would be the process in order to go through LEDS. And they would also have to go through ODE.
Okay, so the school district themselves, the administration, couldn't do it on their own without going through the formal setting up of the policing agency. Is that what you're saying?
They would not be able to do it currently. They would have to go through and have a police agency. I mean, I think what Portland Schools has is an actual police agency within the schools. Portland Security, am I understanding that correctly?
Madam.
Answering his.
Go ahead, Madam Chair. I can clarify that. Actually, Portland Public Schools no longer has their own police agency. In 2001, it became budget prohibitive. We actually have the Portland Police Bureau that's in there. But my department, is actually designated a law enforcement agency, and we are certified and have LEDS access by that. The school board does have the ability to designate the security department or some department as a law enforcement agency, and then they're governed by the LEDS, law enforcement data system, on how that's operated. So there are still those controls. They don't just suddenly get to say and go to those.
Madam Chair, follow up. So I guess that's part of my question, is that there are controls in place and there are steps that you have to follow. Am I correct to follow up on what you said? I mean, this isn't arbitrarily going to just give a school district the ability for the administrator to start collecting information arbitrarily. There's a formal process that a school district has to go through to set up to do this, right?
Madam Chair, that is correct. The current process is time cumbersome. As I said, you can be an employee or a hired employee and be in a school district 4 to 5 months before the process actually takes place. This would allow Portland Public Schools and other districts to go directly to the state police and get those records back in a more timely fashion. And also, to answer the question, Beaverton is also a law enforcement agency, and Oregon Trail School District School Board about 3 weeks ago approved that agency as a law enforcement agency also.
Another question, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you. What kind of time difference do you estimate there would be under the present versus going direct yourself? How much time in a normal situation and an appeal situation, the two examples you gave?
Madam Chair, unfortunately, not knowing how many other school districts would be sending them directly to the state police. Currently, all school districts in the state send them to Oregon Department of Education. So that late August or mid-August through mid-September hiring rush that everybody does, we sometimes won't get fingerprint checks back for 6 weeks. And if they appeal, it can be 6 months before the fingerprint check, the appeal hearing, and we actually get a remedy that somebody has been terminated.
Clarification? So you're not sure how much time you might be able to save going direct. Since you haven't been going direct, it's kind of hard to say.
Madam Chair, that is correct. One of the advantages, though, is currently what we get back from ODE is either a yes or no that they did pass. We don't actually see, or most school districts don't actually get to see the criminal record, so you could actually have been convicted of a crime of possession of cocaine 6 months ago or even 6 weeks ago, and as long as you checked yes on the correct form that went to ODE and you were honest, that would come back and you could then be hired because you would have cleared it, because they don't tell you the criminal record, where the state police would be able to share that information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to clarify, your kind of the context and the frame that you come with is your experience specifically within Portland Public Schools. So other school districts might have a different understanding.
of how this is working. This is from your perspective, from your experience that you've had.
Chairwoman, yes, we currently, and actually that's why Sandy, the Oregon Trail School District, has now become a law enforcement agency. They used us as an example because they were not pre-screening. We're actually pre-screen our employees before that ever goes off, so that we can actually look at a criminal record and before the job offer's been made, but before you're allowed to go into the schools, we do a pre-screen. Okay. We don't catch everybody. That's what the fingerprint process is for, and that's what we believe directly to the state police would expedite that process.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Van Orman was in the queue first.
Thank you. There are a number of things coming up, and since one of my school districts is now doing this, I will obviously have to gather some more information before I make a decision. But it sounds to me as if it's very important that there is a division of duties between the security office and the human resources, because it just sounded to me as if you mix those two up, you have a likelihood of breaches in security. Is that a fair assessment?
Madam Chair, yes, that would be, and that there is a distinct, we do not, my office, I don't work for the Human Resources Department, although I do collaborate with our Human Resources lawyer, but when we recommend someone not be hired based on their criminal record, or we get a letter from the state saying they can't for dishonesty, falsely swearing, as it's called, or for what one of the forever crimes, it does not say what the crime is or when it occurred or any of that. It's just a letter saying they cannot be employed.
Okay, and that would go to human resources. Follow up. And that would go to human resources.
Madam Chair, that is correct. They get a copy as well as it stays okay. In the criminal record that my office maintains.
And follow up. So there is clear division between the security arm and the human resources arm.
Madam Chair, yes, specifically with Portland I can address, and okay. I know Beaverton runs very similar to us, and okay. Oregon Trail is starting theirs.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative Rivlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess mine is a clarification. So, because you are a police agency, you can get LED's information directly? You just can't get the state information directly?
Madam Chair, we currently can get the law enforcement data. What we can't get is outside the state of Oregon. NCIC. So if your criminal record is only in Oregon, when I get your printout, it'll say single source offender telling me it's an Oregon record. But if it happens to be you have a conviction in Washington or California, it'll say multi-source offender, but I can't get those records to find out what your criminal record is or when it was.
Follow up. So what you then, if you want to find that, you go and ask the Department of Ed. They can get that information, but they only give you back a yes or a no answer.
Madam Chair, that is correct. Okay. But we do go in all cases with the fingerprints to the Oregon Department of Education. It's just a slower process. We try and identify all those problems or potential problems on the front end of the.
Okay.
I'm trying to better understand how this would work on a. I think this goes back to the question that Representative Dembrough has. I can understand the clear separation between your human resources department and your security department in Portland Public Schools, which is an enormous school district. But what happens in a county like mine, where you have multiple school districts, including very small school districts, where maybe your custodian is also working as your human resources director? I mean, we have so many people that are
It's true
in some parts of the state. How do you keep that clear distinction in these small school districts where you have one person or three people that do everything? And then the follow-on question to that is within counties outside the metro area where you have lots of smaller school district jurisdictions within a county sheriff's department or a law enforcement agency, how many times is that confidential information
then able to be accessed. And I'm just thinking about the LEDs generally, even outside the scope of this bill. I think I never would think of a school district being a law enforcement agency. That's just, you know, something different than I would think of. But we have so many other bills this session where we're talking about what it is that we're dumping into LEDs. There's the bill that puts in any medication and mental health history that you have. We're talking down in rules about whether or not you have a right to own a firearm based on a whole series of mental health or developmental types of issues you may have had in your past. Help me feel better about, I mean, it leaves me feeling very disconcerted to think that we, in addition to the law enforcement agencies, when we hear talk about putting something into LEDs, and we say, well, it's only law enforcement that has access to it, why would we want to increase law enforcement to include all the school districts in the state for the purposes of accessing that information?
Madam Chairwoman, I believe that's the beginning process, though, is that the school board, when they, wherever it is, rural Southern Oregon or Eastern Oregon, that they designate a law enforcement agency, they, by the statute, can set the parameters and the restrictions of a police law enforcement agency. Portland could carry firearms if our school board wanted us to under that statute. They don't. They have the ability to restrict it. And I think the school board sets the parameters. Who's going to have this access? Is it going to be the custodian? Who's the HR director? Who's this?
Right.
Or do we have to designate, if we're going to make you a law enforcement agency or allow you to, then it has to be a separate person with certain credentials. My office, for example, were three of us were retired police officers, so we have the ability not only to know the confidentiality, but also how to read those criminal records. Just because you're a law enforcement agency and you have access doesn't mean you're going to understand what those records necessarily mean by just printing them out and looking at them.
Yeah.
So there has to be an established practice.
But you're saying that that's a decision that's being made by the local school board. These parameters are set by a local school board. And when I sent in my ballot the other week to vote for my school board folks, I wasn't thinking about any of their background in public safety. I was thinking about their background in understanding how to set high goals for kids and to administer a school district. It seems like that's pretty far beyond what most of us would think of as the parameters of decision making for a school board, and especially if you're looking at access to data in a LED system. I'm actually worried that the law we currently have, if a school district is able to do that, is currently too broad. It's very disconcerting to me to think of school districts having direct access to LEDs.
Madam Chair, this isn't direct access to LEDs. This would be to request a criminal background check from the state police or from the Department of Education. It does not give us, this bill does not allow a school district to just go in and access LEDs willy-nilly.
But he was saying that they can currently access LEDs because they've been designated as a law enforcement facility.
They have a law
by
enforcement
school board.
Facility, yeah. They're different from both school districts. They're set up differently, and that's current law.
And
I
understand that this, I'm now concerned about the current law that a school district can be set up as a, I'm wondering if that's something we need to go back and look at. I have an issue with a school district being set up as a law enforcement facility. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Chair, because you're going in the direction that I'm wanting to get some research on, and that is what are the current statutes that allow this, and if it's not in statute, because this current bill, Senate Bill 46, the statute that it's referring to isn't about setting up a law enforcement agency. It's about other things. And so I would like to know what the statute is, the OARs that school boards are using to be able to do this, so that we can understand that. And the other question that I have is about the duration of keeping those records. I don't know how long they're keeping their records, but I'd like to hear from the department and TSPC how long they keep those records in comparison to what's happening out there.
Well, would there be general agreement that this issue is something we should be returning to in the interim to better understand? To get that data back, Representative Pop.
I don't know what the timeline is when this. I haven't kept up to when this committee's not going to be able to meet again, so I don't know the schedule.
Yeah, we'll it would be very difficult to get it done this session. I would like to move this bill today, but on the larger issue of how are school districts doing this, I would be very interested in better understanding that so the legislature can determine whether or not we do have appropriate oversight over this type of a mechanism. Representative Van Arman.
Thank you, Chair Gelter. I'm thinking of my lament about why don't we just fingerprint everybody and we'll just all have ID cards. But in terms of this particular bill, I'm getting the impression that what we're trying to do is to work on a time issue. Because of the slowness of the department, this is coming forward because they want a quicker response. So is that correct?
Chairwoman, yes, it is correct. The timeliness, we have had instances where we've had registered sex offenders within our schools because of the process. It takes 3 months before, if they want to have their hearing, and they will actually be in your schools for 3 to 6 months before we get the termination letter.
Could we invite Morgan Allen up, please? There's a lot going on. Pardon?
Yeah, we can.
If we're inviting someone up and we haven't done a public hearing and we keep talking about the department being slow and having sex offenders in schools, I think we need to give a chance for the department to respond to that. And I'd like to start to bring it back in because it does seem like we're wandering into public hearing land.
Yeah. Chair Gelser, members of the committee, for the record, Morgan Allen with the Department of Education. I apologize because I don't have any of our fingerprinting staff here, but a couple things. I am a little bit confused about. It's my understanding, and I'll go back and confirm this, but I don't believe that a school district can hire an employee and have them working in their schools without them passing the criminal background check. And so I'm a little bit confused about that. And then as far as the time concern with the background checks, I mean, that's a function of the processing through the FBI and the state police. I don't know how much it would speed it. I mean, it might cut a couple days off it, a week off it maybe, if the school districts did it directly. But the time is not, it's a slow, deliberative process through the state police leads and our staff and the FBI. And sometimes it takes a while because they're literally, we're processing tens of thousands of checks in a biennium, and obviously the FBI and state police are, the state police are processing tens of thousands, if not more, and the FBI are processing many hundreds of thousands. So I don't know if we could make it any faster. It's sort of a function of how the process works.
Representative Thatcher?
I'm wondering, maybe you remember, or one of you, maybe you, Morgan, remember, wasn't there a background checks work group last fall, and not only time would be addressed with this bill, maybe a couple days, whatever, but better information would be certainly accessed. If somebody's hiring a bookkeeper and they would find out, well, yeah, they don't have any forever crimes. That's what the information they would get from ODE is, but they wouldn't find out if they have some other, you know, misdemeanor related to, you know, other dishonesty related.
Chair Gelser and Representative Thatcher, and I'm not familiar with how the program works in Portland. My limited understanding, for example, at our agency, I believe only maybe two or three of our staff are actually authorized to look at the records, and we have a secure terminals with the state police for the LEDs. And so I think even if a school district had direct access, I don't think the school principal or the superintendent or the HR director could look at the LEDs record. You'd still have someone basically saying this person was convicted or not of a forever crime, and I think that's all you could still disclose regardless of who has the access, because I believe those, and I know no one from state police is here, but I believe that's how it works, is that's sort of dictated through the LEDs agreement process you have with the state police. So I don't think, then again, I'm a lot of what I'm saying is speculation because this is not my area of expertise by any stretch of the means, but I don't think that, like, principals and superintendents could look at that. You still have to have a filter. You still have someone sort of filtering that information from LEDs. So I don't know.
Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up, so who at the local level, I mean, if we adopted this amendment, who would be doing that filtering?
Chair Gelser and Representative Denver, I don't know. I would assume that they'd have to set up an arrangement with the state police, much like we do, where you'd have to have secure terminals and training to get that information. But again, that's speculation. I don't know how the state police do that exactly.
Okay, just follow up. The main bill, the piece of legislation that came to us from the Senate, is the product of some lengthy process, right?
Chair Gelsman, Representative Denbrough, Senate Bill 46 was part of a package. I believe there's five or six total bills. Representative Buckley, Senator Walker, Senator Cruz, and several other members had an interim work group. Most of them addressed it, fingerprinting. This is the bill that the vehicle for the parts of that work group that impacted the department. There were other things that impacted TSBC and school districts, and those were in other bills, including one you've already passed out today, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. And there was a fair amount of consensus.
Follow up.
Thank you. Follow up, please. Around this bill 46, and I'm wondering, did this subject of local districts, you know, doing the checks themselves, was that part of the larger conversation? And
Chair,
you know, the representative talked about it.
Yeah, Chair Gelser and Representative Denbrough, I think it may have came up. I don't remember it being a huge topic of conversation. I do remember the Portland situation or the arrangement that Portland Public has being discussed, but that's all I remember from that. That was quite a while ago, so I'm sorry. Don't have my notes.
Chair, I participated in all those meetings, and if we talked about this subject, it was not in depth at all. I don't recall it.
About the subject in the amendment, not the subject.
The subject
in the
amendment. Oh, we did hours on the actual bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions, Representative Huffman?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would just suggest that, you know, because you said we're kind of getting far-reaching here, and this is probably only going to apply to school districts of significant size and resources. The example of the small school districts probably would not even think about going here because they don't have the manpower or the resources. Just a comment.
Thank you both very much. Right, so we are in a work session on Senate Bill 46. Representative Thatcher, do you have a motion?
I move the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 46.
So Representative Thatcher moves the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 46. Is there any discussion? Representative Roblin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is definite need to have bigger discussion about this, but I worry that it hasn't been vetted enough in the previous stuff. And the biggest concern I have is I think that if there are, for example, Portland, and they can't do everything they would like to do, it doesn't matter what size your district is. If when they're doing it, the others are going to kind of be forced to do it, they're going to feel like, and which means that they're going to have to figure out how to get to have their own police force and who that's going to be designated, and it will become a part if we're not careful. And I would like to have that conversation in a bigger scope before I would go on with this amendment. That's just me. So I'll be a no on the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Van Orman?
Thank you, Chair Gills. I think one of the issues in timeliness is the FBI check. It seems, you know, from past experience that I've had, is that it's always the FBI checks. And in the child care division, the FBI checks would take place if you'd been out of the state for 3 years. In my understanding, I think it's gone down to two. But even that is still going to keep the process from being timely because you're sitting there waiting for those FBI checks.
Any further, Representative Comp?
Chair, I have a number of questions about the amendment that are left completely unresolved, and because we don't have time, I won't be able to support the amendment today.
Representative Huffman?
The dash fours only provide, like Portland Public Schools, for example, another tool in their toolbox, right? If they can meet the criteria and jump through the hoops, then all this does is allows them to follow through on it. Does it do any more than that?
I think that is the intent. I believe that that's the intent.
It's the intent to keep the records confidential. If they're not able to do that, then they wouldn't be able to touch it.
And I'm asking because, I mean, I would support that concept, but if it does more or less than that, then I would question it, but I would support that, giving them the option to be able to do that, to take control of that for themselves. Because I don't see it being far-reaching. I just don't see the Dalles and others having the wherewithal to go here. I think they're going to continue using ODE the way they have been.
I want to point out one part.
Okay.
It says, and this is not new language, I don't think, but it just says that the authorized agencies and the Department of State Police.
Which page are you on?
I'm on page 6, on 15A, in the middle of the page. That they shall adopt rules to restrict dissemination of information received under the section of persons with a demonstrated and legitimate need to know the information. And the school district must comply with the rules adopted by the State Department of Education, or Board of Education, under the subsection. I mean, there's going to be layered with rules, rules of use, rules of the road, so to speak.
Well, I think going back to Representative Huffman's question, I think there's a... I appreciate what the intent is, and I trust where the intent is. I have a lot of questions that are around it about whether this actually gets there. It's not a question about the intent. And I really appreciate, Representative Thatcher, the work since the House bill that we heard to address some of the concerns that were raised by the ACLU and others. I think it's unfortunate that we're at that point where we're at the end and everything's fast. The underlying bill has been worked for... what, more than a year, year and a half, and I think it would be, I don't think it would be the right thing to do to stop the whole thing because we have questions about the amendment, so I won't be supporting the amendment, but I appreciate the improvements and look forward to further conversations about it if the amendment isn't successful. Are there further comments, questions, discussion? Representative Van Orman?
Thank you, Chair Gilser. I'm wrestling with the whole concept, not only the Dash Force, but the bill itself. Because if I have a school district, the Oregon Trail School District, that could go ahead and do what's needed, I am not sure what the bill is addressing.
Well, the underlying bill is different. The underlying bill is about holding people accountable when they make false statements on their application.
Thank you.
Representative Parker.
I feel very unresolved about this amendment, which I hadn't seen before, and I'm having difficulty processing it right now.
Thank you.
I don't know which way I would vote on this one, and unfortunately they're going
to
call my name first.
So
my vote has a disproportionate weight.
You should have chosen the surname Zeus.
Pardon?
You should have chosen the surname Zeus, so that you could always be called last, and you'd be very, very powerful.
I requested it, frankly.
They would have changed the rules and started from the end.
And then that amendment was not successful as you were in the birth certificate office?
Correct.
Thank you. All right, further discussion?
Oh.
Debbie, would you please call the roll and put Representative Parker out of his misery?
Call me first.
Would you call the roll in reverse order? Does anybody have objection to calling the roll in a reverse order? Okay. Thank you.
Representative Van Orman?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
No.
Representative Maurer?
Yes.
Representative Hall?
No.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Didn't help.
God. No.
Vice Chair Springer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
No.
Chair Gilson?
No. Having not received the required votes, the motion is not successful. Is that the?
Fails.
For the education committee, we're supposed to talk about things in the positive instead of negative. Okay.
I think,
Madam Chair, that's part of the problem.
I think you need to gavel.
Okay, so it.
Yeah. You try to make everybody happy when you can't.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, there are winners and losers in life, and that's rule number one. We're not getting out of here alive, so don't try to make us live forever.
All right.
We can go on, but...
I got it. So on that note, the amendments fail. Is there another motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 46A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbrough moves Senate Bill 46A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
No.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Hall?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Yes.
Representative
Rovin? Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Vice Chair Skinner?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Gibbler?
Aye.
Chair
Gilson? Aye. Having received the required votes, the bill passes and goes to the floor. Representative Comp, you were on the interim work group that
yes.
worked on this bill. Would you carry it?
Please. Yes, I will.
Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 46.
Thank you. I understood. And I dislike this.
No. Is there anything for the good of the order? All right, the House Committee on Education is adjourned. Did I carry everything over? Did I say 428?
Only one,
okay.
And you did it.
Great to see you Wednesday. House Committee is adjourned.